I always think of the winter months as the prime months for meditating, for going inward. In lots of traditions in Korea in particular, they have a long 90-day winter session of sitting every day a lot. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about what it is we do when we're on the cushion. First of all, our original nature is pure, undefiled, doesn't begin, doesn't end. It is beyond our intellectual understanding, our ideas, our thoughts, our feelings. It is your original face. So this is what we're doing when we're sitting on the cushion. We're discovering who we are, actually. Well, how do we do that? When we first start sitting, we may start with counting the breath in order to learn focus. We may start with just watching the breath. We may start with what's called shakantaza, or just sitting. Some people use what's called a koan. In the Korean tradition, they take the koan and they break it down to the essential point, to the essential question, to the what they call the great question, the hwadu. So, for example, practice that is given to students, especially when they're just beginning, is Jashu is asked, does a dog have Buddha nature? And he says, who, which translated means no or not so. So the hwadu would be just focusing on no. So how does this happen? So we're sitting. At first, we're just getting used to our posture, checking out our bodily experience sitting here. We're watching our breath coming in and out. We may take our energy down to the hara or the tantien, a couple inches below the belly button, put our consciousness there, and we just watch. Breath comes and goes, and we are experiencing everything that's happening. Even a frog that looks like a bump on a log is active in its great sitting. If you're close enough, you may see or catch the frog eating a dragonfly faster than you can say dragonfly. If you try to get too close, frog's already in the lake before you get there. When we're sitting, we're not attempting to stop all thought, to be blank. That's a mistake. This is inquiry, great inquiry into who we are. My wadu that I really like is, what is this? And if you ask that question, like, oh, who's asking that question? That must be it. No. You have to do it like a hen who's sitting on her eggs to hatch them. The hen doesn't just sit there waiting for the eggs to hatch. She moves them around. She examines them from all different angles. She consistently moves them and adjusts and resets. So as we're sitting, we're going through all this process. It's not a stagnant thing. It's not a still thing. It's a constantly moving experience of what this is. If the chicken, the hen, decided she was hungry, which she probably is because she's sitting there for a long time, and gets up and goes to eat something, the eggs won't hatch. If she decides, oh, I'm tired now, having enough of this sitting, I'm going to go do something else, some of the eggs might hatch, some may will not. So there's a kind of determination, an insistence on getting to the primary point. So I like to say sitting with our hairs on fire. Because what are we doing? We're wanting to wake up. wake up to what we already are, rather than indulge ourselves in our deluded thinking and our views. We want to wake up. So we have to sit like that hen and stay there. I really like the Korean approach because the Hwadu for me is like, rather than messing around with the circumstances around which this koan was created, it just gets right to, well, what is this? So we're dancing around this conceptually, this idea of non-duality, but it's not an idea, it's a reality. It's non-dual. That's the way things actually are. The duality is how we have did our experience, this and that. So this and that comes up constantly while we're sitting. If you can sit and constantly bring yourself back, what is this? I think the moment that I reached pinnacle in my meditation was when I sat with the realization, it's just mind. It's just mind. With great inquiry, not as a fact, not as a statement. It's just mind. It's just mind. It's just mind. It's just mind. See, it's like that, rolling those eggs around. It's like looking at it from all these different perspectives. So sitting isn't something we do just to relax. It's to wake up to who we are. And in that process, you know, everything's always in flux and moving. So if this happens, that happens. So the more focused, the more centered, the more we understand our own way we go through the world, the more capable we are, the more prepared we are, the more helpful we can be, the more healing can take place. So everything that you would like to experience in your life that you're chasing, when you stop chasing and just remember, which is essentially what happens with this great inquiry, is you're remembering your Buddha nature. It's like, aha. So, here I am. Here we are. Here it is. It's never left. It's never gone. It never began. It never ended. Yet, I've got this body, but that doesn't change what we are. So maybe instead of saying, sitting like your hair's on fire, I should say, sit like a hen on a dozen eggs. But I wanted to bring that up because just bring back the focus, you know, because we come here and we sit. And I'm sure we each have really interesting experiences in our sit. But we should always come back to this great inquiry. What is this? Sitting there with a blank mind isn't, it's not it. I mean, I need to be reminded, you know, I'm kind of at the point with sitting where it's so easy because it just happens for me. I really need to remind myself why I'm here instead of indulging and enjoying the sit. Enjoying the sit is like, again, that's dualistic. That's sort of, who's enjoying the sit? What is that? You know, I stopped asking the question and I just started indulging. It's like overeating. You keep eating, you're going to get sick. You keep indulging in samadhi, thinking, oh, how wonderful. I'm in bliss. This must be enlightenment. You see? Fooling ourselves is something we do constantly. We're not fooling ourselves. There's nothing there to be fooled. That's what was on my mind this morning. our practice. Here we are. So thank you. Any thoughts?
When you say you're at the pinnacle of your sit, do you mean in general it's been just today, this session today when you meet Joseph Martin?
Well, generally what happens for me is I very quickly go beyond the beginning stages of sitting for me. But yet I don't, because I'm constantly revisiting. I'm like turning those eggs. So if my posture is off, if I have a pain somewhere, or I'm noticing my stomach gurgling, you know, I notice it. So I'm paying attention to my whole experience. So then I'm focused on my stomach gurgling. I come back to the breath. I come back to the Tantian. And I come back to just suchness, sitting, let whatever is. And it's just there. It's just nothing. It's just everything. It's all of it. And it's walking, standing, sitting, Zen. This is Zen. This process, what we're talking about on the cushion, translates into our lives. It becomes your art. It becomes when you sleep, you lay down to sleep. How you sleep changes because of your sitting. How you think changes. It all kind of, because it's expansive. It becomes more aware of what's going on in the moment. There's a kind of intuition that develops. This awareness, it's hard to describe what intuition actually is. Zen master I lived with used to say, it's, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, in terms of describing intuition. You know, where there's smoke, there's fire. But in order to see the smoke, we already need to get out of your stuff enough that you can experience the rest of it. You know, take the blinders off, in other words, or the sort of limited view you have of how things are at the moment. So the meditation, this process of just being awake to what's going on, it's constant, it's everywhere, it's all the time, it's not just sitting. That's what happens, I think. For most of us, from our experience, we can take what we're experiencing here on the cushion with us into our lives and use it. It's like Kung Fu or any of the martial arts. You know, they're not effective unless you already have this ability to be present. Otherwise, you know, you're going to just get smacked. So that's why getting smacked is not such a bad thing. Oh, I wasn't paying attention. It's like slipping in the mud. I mean, it could be a good thing, depending on how you interpret what it is that's happening. I don't mind it coming at me. You know, when somebody's provocative with me, I kind of find it an interesting challenge and a good thing, because it gets me to, again, what is this? You know, takes me back to where I need to be instead of projecting. So when somebody's being provocative and I'm projecting and they're pointing that out to me, I feel like that's a blessing. That's, you know, I take it to heart and great. Thank you very much. But if they're wrong, they're wrong. So the other part of what I'm saying is, you know, take me or leave me. Don't take me so seriously. We talk about this a lot. Don't take yourself so seriously. That what that means is, you know, don't let your ego get caught up in it. You know, keep it loose so you can see it for what it is, rather than holding it so tightly. So that person that you're offending is holding on really tightly, even though you may not intend for it to be offensive. You know, I'm not causing blame here. I'm just reflecting on, well, what is that dynamic that's going on, you know? So this is what Sangha is, right? This reflecting, this constant, you know, we screw up, we say something stupid or not, or we give somebody an opportunity to learn something about themselves by how they're reacting to what it is we're saying. Unfortunately, in today's climate, we're also in our little tribe that we don't communicate and allow for that difference to happen, you know, without getting offended really quickly and easily. So rather than saying, what is this?
It just takes patience.
It does take patience. Yeah, thank you. Okay. All right. I'm going to let Charlene know we're done, and we'll be on our way.